called this message Reasons for Thanksgiving. And just a brief entree into it will be from this 11th chapter, but I'd like to begin here because we'll start right before the raising of Lazarus in verse 40, where Jesus is speaking of what's to happen. And he says in verse 40, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." And one of them named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke up, "You know nothing at all. You don't even realize that it's better for that one man die for the nation than the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die, he would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved among them publicly. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. Father, we thank you for what you have done in bringing life to dead sinners. We thank you for the fullness of that in the dying and rising of Jesus. And I pray that your blessing would be in our hearts, that we would thank you for all you've done for us, all you're doing, and all you will do as well, not just for us, but for your people scattered everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most amazing sentences in the Bible is Jesus saying, "Thank you, Father." Jesus says this to his Father, not at a high point in his life or in his ministry, but as the cross is looming before him. And Jesus knows that very soon he is going to taste the full fury of the Father's wrath. And he speaks this as he is raising a dead man to life, knowing that he must soon face his own death. And before that, he must, in a few moments, face the rage-filled religious leaders of Israel who are plotting to kill him because of something that he did. What was it? He raised a man from the dead. And after that, he must not only face the cross, but he must face the full wrath of God poured out on him. And in the face of all of this, Jesus looks up to heaven and verse 41 says, "Thank you, Father." And his reason for this thanks is simple. It's in a simple, trust-filled statement, "Because you heard me and because I know you always hear me." Jesus' life, you see, even as he faces suffering and death and the wrath of God, is filled with thanks to God. His life brings life and brings restoration to many people, but only once in 3 years is there recorded even a simple word of thanks for Jesus for all that he has done. He brings life and he receives a criminal's death. And even a thief on the cross next to him receiving everlasting life while on the very threshold of his own death, probably never even thought to say, Yeshua, thank you. Friends, when we belong to Christ, we have so much to be thankful for, so much to help us to even to remember God, to remember to thank God, to remember to be thankful to God and for God. So I want us now to look at some of the reasons throughout the scriptures that we're given to be thankful. We're going to sing Psalm 92 soon. Not too soon, but we're also going to sing the psalm soon. And it says, it is good to thank the Lord. And thanking God is good because, as Ephesians 1:3 says, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If we even, by the way, just stopped at that point this evening, we would have a tremendous amount to be thankful to God for. But Ephesians 1 continues, and it tells us specifically just what the blessings are that we have. Think about these blessings. God chose us. God predestined us. God adopted us. God redeemed us. God forgave us. God taught us. God, the God of heaven and earth, has done all of this. And because of who Christ is and what He has done for us, even because of this alone, our lives should overflow with thanks to Him. In 2 Samuel 22, David writes a song to the Lord when the Lord delivered him. And David's song is not just a song. It's a love song. David loves God. And after he praises God in his love song, he says this, that because of your great redemption and your deliverance of me, I will give thanks to you, O God, before the very nations. And I will sing praises to your name, verse 50. This is also his vow in Psalm 18:49, in which David's thanks will reach the nations. But his thanks will reach the nations with the greatness of the God who delivers him, who avenges him, who makes him the head of nations, who saves him, who exalts him. He's saying, in other words, he's saying that he is going to be a witness to the greatness of God, to all the nations, to all those nations that don't know him. That he's going to sing forth praises, the praises of this great God, and will never be content to be silent about his deliverance. First Chronicles 16, David tells us he wrote this psalm to thank the Lord. Indeed, it begins, give thanks to the Lord. And then he quotes parts of three psalms, Psalm 105, Psalm 96, and Psalm 106. In verse 34, he quotes from Psalm 103, verse 6, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And he continues by describing that goodness when he says, his love endures forever. But he continues in the next verse to show exactly what kind of love it is that endures forever, for it's saving love. We read, save us, O God, our Savior, deliver us. Why? In other words, what is the purpose of the salvation of God's people? What is your purpose in being saved? It says here that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. That's verses 34 through 36. Have you ever wondered, we talk about the Levites, people know about them to some degree or other. You know what the Levites did? Well, of course, we know that they assisted the priests in the temple. Major job description for them. We also know that they were teachers in Israel. They got the teaching assignment. But in 1 Chronicles 23:30, it says that they were to also to stand every morning in order to thank and praise the Lord. They were to do the same in the evening. They were to do it, it says, whenever burnt offerings were presented to the Lord on the Sabbaths, and at the new moons, and at the appointed festivals. That's in verses 30 through 31. In other words, one of the main responsibilities of the Levites was to give thanks and praise to God. Now in Christ, Peter tells us, but we are a royal priesthood. And so we should give thanks and praise to God. 1 Chronicles 29. Didn't David give thanks to God because of the eternality, the greatness, the glory, the majesty, the power, the splendor of God? That is, didn't he just thank God continually because of the very character of God? He gives God thanks because of who God is. And it's similar in 2 Chronicles 7:3, when all of the Israelites are gathered for the dedication of the temple. And we read, when all of the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped. And they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good, and His love endures forever. Once again, as with David, it is the glory of the Lord which triggers thanks. This time not only from the king, but from all of the people. And while it is God's glory which triggers their thanks, it is God's love which still is foremost. Because in reference after reference, such as 2 Chronicles 7:3, 7:6, 20:21, Ezra 3:11, we read, Give thanks to the Lord because His love endures forever. Friends, the Psalms are filled with thanks to God. You know that when you sing through them, you know it when you read it. In fact, in the Psalter alone, there are 42 references to giving thanks to God. I'm going to read each psalm fully right now. I'm not going to do that. But there are 42 references, and you can catch them yourself. Just go through it and just look that up, and you'll see it. In Psalm 7:17, David gives thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness. That is, he says, the Lord will deliver His people. He's a shield for His people. Justice will prevail. And what's the conclusion? So thank Him. In Psalm 28, when David cries for mercy and help and prays not to be dragged away with the wicked, he concludes with confidence that I've been heard. And he says, my heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to Him in song. That's verse 7. Because the Lord is the strength and the Lord is the fortress of His people. So that, as Psalm 30 teaches, we give thanks even as we just remember His holy name, just the remembrance of the name of God. And it should quicken in us a sense of, oh, thank you, God, for being our deliverer, our shield, our hope. And so we read on in that song that He's going to give thanks forever. That's verse 12 in Psalm 30. And even stronger than that is in Psalm 75. We sang Psalm 75 tonight, didn't we? Verse 1. We give thanks because Your name is near. The holy name of God is not something distant of a character that we only know by some kind of strange introduction by people who have no real knowledge of or ability to teach us of Him. His name, meaning He Himself, His character, it's near to us. He is near. As Psalm 92:1 sums it up by saying, it's good. It is good. Good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to You and to Your name, O Lord, O Most High. And that's a reference, you see, to the majesty of God, so that even while His name is near, He is lifted up. He is exalted, as Psalm 105, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name. Adding in this verse just what's involved in giving thanks and calling upon His name, and that is, making His deeds known among the nations. That's our job description, at least in part. Making His deeds known among the nations, known among the peoples. It's the same thing. We need to do that. I certainly hope that when I'm in Israel for a couple of weeks teaching, that I'll have time not just to teach counseling courses, but to make His deeds known among that nation. Because those of God's people who are truly thankful demonstrate it by telling of His great deeds, of His saving a people for Himself, of the salvation that they have in Jesus Christ. And Psalm 106 points out that we cry to God for salvation, for the purpose of giving thanks to His holy name and seeing the triumph of his praise, and that's in verse 47. You see, Psalm 107 pleads in four places, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, that everyone would give thanks to the Lord for his wonderful deeds to all people. And that psalm ends by saying, whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord and give God the thanksgiving that is due his name. Why? Why should we give him the thanksgiving due his name? Because the Psalm 118, 21 says, because you answer me. He's a God who hears us, who answers us. And that's why I give you thanks. You see, friends, God hears us. He does hear us. God does answer us. We must thank him for his care. We must thank him for his love for us and to us. The greatness of that love is experienced on the last day when Isaiah says in Isaiah 40:12-4 that God's people will stand before him in glory, will thank him for his salvation and the comfort and trust that he gave, enabling us to be joyful in the midst of the many trials we face that come our way. But now, on this day, today, as we look ahead, we proclaim his greatness to the nations. We rejoice now for the glorious things that he has done. We are a people, he goes on to say in Isaiah 51:3, that is filled with joy and gladness, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Jeremiah describes the same hope of the righteous, but he adds in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 16, that the enemies of God's people will not always prevail, but instead, we, the people of God, will be restored. We will be healed, so that from us will come songs of thanksgiving and sounds of rejoicing. We'll be his people, and he'll be our God. And in Jeremiah 33:8, Jeremiah goes on to say that God will cleanse us from all of our sin. And that's clearly a kind of refrain that pulls us into the glory of the new covenant. And he's going to forgive us, it says in Jeremiah, entirely. And then we will bring him renown. And of course, Jeremiah spoke of the new covenant coming. The days are coming when I'll give you a new covenant, not like the old which the people broke, but this is a new one. I'll write my law in your hearts, not on the stone, but on your hearts. And you will all know me from the least to the greatest. Because I will give you that new covenant and I'll wash away your sin completely. So we need to stop knowing all of this, that in the midst of gladness and joy of the Lord, and offer him thanksgiving. That's what thanksgiving, ultimately thanksgiving, it doesn't mean anything if we're not thanking the Lord. And this is what we will say, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His mercy endures forever. And all of our fortunes will be restored from all that ever harmed or plundered us in a full way. Not necessarily, I lost $300 on that, I got $300 back. Wow, God is good. No, he's much better than that. He is much, much better than that. It's not a matter of material giving back. He is giving back the restoration of life, the restoring of ourselves to something that we never could imagine, that money and things could never even buy. But you see, it's Daniel who gives one of the most interesting pictures of thanksgiving. Because when he learns that all who are found praying to any God but the Lord will be thrown into the lion's den, we read that three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed. And it says, giving thanks just as he had done before. It's a mighty statement. In the face of terrible trouble, he doesn't blame God. He doesn't abandon God. He thanks God. And Jonah, from the belly of that great fish, offers a song of thanksgiving for the salvation that comes from the Lord. That's in Jonah 2:9. Our reasons for thanksgiving, our reason for thanksgiving extends into the new covenant. We see Jesus publicly thank his Father as he begins to break the meager bread, the meager food that will soon feed 5,000, Matthew 14:19. In Matthew 26:26, Jesus again gives thanks for the bread and the wine as well, but this time adds these momentous words, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. For this, you know what we can do? Thank God. Indeed, like the leper who returned and fell at the feet of Jesus, thanking him, this is what all who have been healed and cleansed of our sin should look like, at the feet of Jesus. Then, as we saw in John 11:41 that I read a few moments ago, Jesus thanks God that his Father always hears him, always. And he adds that he thanks his Father publicly like this for our benefit, specifically that we would become believers in God. And of course, there is another application in this, that we would realize that God also always hears us as well. For this we should thank him. In Romans 1:21, Paul tells us that one of the striking characteristics of the wicked is their thanklessness, which leads to futile thinking, darkened hearts, foolishness, which exchanges the glory of God for idolatry and leads them into depravity of all kinds, even to evil hearts that approve all kinds of wickedness, murders, and miseries. And by Romans 6:17, Paul thanks God that although we all deserve bondage and death, instead he says, thanks be to God that although we were slaves to sin, we have been set free. And Paul reiterates this in Romans 7:25, where he thanks God for delivering him from the sin which seems to continually engulf and envelop him. This redemption that he has is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15:57 as a victory. And indeed it is a victory. It's a victory over sin and death. And thus we're to thank God for the victory that he gives us. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:17, Paul points out that even if we are giving thanks, we have to do it in ways that edify those around us. Because thanks mean nothing if another person doesn't understand. So in fact, in 2 Corinthians 4:15, the redemptive grace of God is meant to cause thanksgiving to overflow, not just from us, but from many peoples. And all of it is to be to the glory of God. And adding to this, Paul says in Ephesians 5:4, that thanksgiving is what is to take place instead of obscenity, foolish talking, coarse jesting, because we are to be pure. And the idea is that a life of thanksgiving promotes purity. That's, have you ever heard, you know, the millions of guys trying one approach after another to deal with pornography and all kinds of things that have been arranged for them and stumbling back into that sin again and again and again? Think about this. We get a passage in the scriptures that says, that teach us thanking God, having a heart of thanksgiving to God, leads to purity in our lives. I find that an astounding application that would be well heeded by all of us. Later in Ephesians, this idea is expanded upon when Paul says in verse 17 that we are not to be foolish, but rather we're to understand the Lord's will by being sure to keep from drunkenness. It's funny. What is the Lord's will? And people go to seminars trying to figure out, you know, what am I supposed to do next week? What am I supposed to do tomorrow night? No, it's not really that. It's found in, it says, keep from drunkenness. Rather, it says, be filled with the Spirit. Stay away. Stay that way by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to God, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever would think, take another area of sin that leads to such impurity, who would ever think that singing God's praises is going to keep you from a dissolute, a drunken life? Whoever thinks that way? We don't. But this is what it's saying. Have your mind filled with the things of God, the Word of God, the praises of God. Sing them. Sing it every day. And God is going to keep you in a purity and a state of mind that's going to keep you from entering into sin that can destroy you. Our thanks to God It's not just a day like Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day for God, it should be with us every day of our lives, because it is our life, because we, God's people, always thank God. That's to be a mindset of the people of God. We are to have a mindset of thanksgiving, not of bitterness, not of rage, but a mindset of gratitude. It'll change your life, because it's so easy when you're walking along. You know, I hate that person. I can't stand them. You see the way that person did? Oh, I just want to. People live that way. They're living that way all the time. He's saying, get away from that. Put that off and put on in its place gratitude. Thanksgiving. In Colossians 2:7, Paul urges us to continue to live in Christ. He says, rooted and built up in him, strengthened with the faith, overflowing with thanksgiving. We're not just to be thankful. We are to be overflowing with thanksgiving, so that whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we are to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Here's a little pointer. I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but it's just something that I think is worthy of taking note. He doesn't say in this verse, it's other places might be slightly different. That's okay. He doesn't say we give thanks for all things. I think that would be a stretch that is not a biblical stretch. We are not to give thanks for all things. When you're in grief, someone has been taken from your life that you love. Hey, thank you for this. That's not, I think, the way God means it. It's in all circumstances. And that's the translation here. For this is God's will for you. In whatever circumstance you may find yourself, you give thanks in that circumstance. You've brought me here, God. There's something I'm going to learn. I don't like the circumstance, but I thank you because I like you. I love you, and I know you're going to do something great in this. The Bible draws to a close in the Revelation with a picture of the four living creatures who are around the throne in Revelation 4:8, and who never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come." And this is what they say as they give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and lives forever and ever. In Revelation 7:11, we see the angels who are around the throne fall on their faces before the throne, worshiping God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Our giving thanks to God is part of our glorifying God. And that's why the 24 elders in Revelation 11:17 are on their faces worshiping God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was. You have taken your great power. You have begun to reign." Here the elders do what? They thank God because he is reigning. They thank him because he is the sovereign ruler. And in the next verse, the thanks continue because his wrath is going to come. It's a wrath that's going to judge the living and the dead. This thanksgiving is accompanied by God's glory, by lightning and by thunder, by earthquake and by hailstorm. What a picture we have in this brief overview. We're given a picture of a life that's bathed in thanks to God. This is to be our life. You know what you get out of this when you stop and you really think about it for just a minute? You realize the thanks that you're giving to God is not for him. It's not as if God is saying, "I need someone to be thankful to me, to make my day complete." God doesn't need that today or any day as long as it's called day here. He doesn't need anything. We need to thank him because he is worthy of our thanksgiving. And thus our lives are changed and blessed to the degree that we have a life of gratitude instead of a life of whatever you want to put in its place that you're rushing and heading for. It won't give you what you need, which is to be loving, thanking God. Friends, you've seen this just from a brief little message on this. that thanksgiving to God spans the Bible. It's there from the beginning to the end. And if you belong to Christ, Christ redeemed you then, and your response should inevitably be whatever else you're facing, thanksgiving and praise. I see people who've been redeemed. They know it. And then something awful happens, and it goes, how can I ever trust God again? As if He promised nothing's going to happen to you. You happen to live in a fallen, sin-filled world. Sin is still operating until the end. But nothing is going to happen to you, and that will show you how wonderful of a God I am. No. What will show us how wonderful He is how He enables us by His Spirit to face the difficulties, tragedies, and face them in faith and trust and confidence and hope and assurance in Him through it all. You read any of the books and read some of the biographies of the great Christians through the centuries and the millennia. All of them face difficulties, terrible trials. The glory that makes their life worth reading is the glory of God, not of them. That they trusted Him through those trials. That's what separates them from the rest. And the same with us. Your response, our response should be thanksgiving. It should be praise. It's the only thing you can really offer to God. Indeed, thanksgiving to God for our redemption is repeated again and again in the Scriptures. We thank God for who He is. We read in 1 Chronicles 29, thanks be to You, O God, because You are majestic. You are powerful. You are glorious. You are majestic and splendid. Our thanks is to be God-centered. He deserves thanks from us because of who He is. We also thank God that He has redeemed us. We thank Him that He's forgiven our sins. We thank Him that He has delivered us. We thank Him corporately as the body of Christ, as a people, because in Christ, as the people of God, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are set apart. Peter says, quoting Moses, for the express purpose here of praising and thanking Him for calling us out of darkness and into His marvelous light and granting us mercy since we had formerly received none. Did you ever think about that? Life went on. Maybe you thought it was a great life. People have to wrestle with that. That's why some people go back to the old life. They think it was great. It wasn't great. There was no mercy. There was no mercy. But now there is mercy. We should thank Him for it. And so as God's priesthood, as God's holy nation, who now live in His light, we thank Him. And this attitude of thanksgiving that we are to possess is an attitude of thanksgiving to God in all circumstances, in all things. David sums it up beautifully in 2 Samuel 7:18 when he asks, who am I that You have brought me here? I love that. That's the attitude. Just starting right there, if nothing else was said. Who am I that You have brought me here? That's the attitude. That's what we should be emulating. Who are we that God should send His Son to die for us? Who are we that God should make us a kingdom of priests? Who are we compared to all the rest that God should love us? And who are we that we should, as He promises, grant us the kingdom? Who are we? And yet Christ does all of this for us. Christ holds nothing back from us. And our response should be an attitude of ceaseless thanks to God. We should see that we've been overwhelmed with blessings. Start the morning with thanking God. End the day with thanking God and thank Him throughout the day that we have been given everything necessary, He says in 2 Peter 1:3, for life and for godliness. That we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. That He has started a great work in us. That we can be convinced that He will complete it on the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. And the one thing out of all of this that God calls from us is thanksgiving. Above all else, He wants to see an attitude of thanksgiving. Hearts filled with thanksgiving for the great gift that we have in Jesus. What a picture. What a picture we have seen. And you see this brief overview. We're given a picture of a life that's bathed in thanks to God. And that life is to be yours and mine. Friends, thanksgiving to God spans the pages of the Bible. It's there from beginning to end. If you belong to Christ, Christ redeemed you. Your response should be thanks and praise. It's the only thing you can really offer to God, really, when you get right down to it. Thanksgiving to God for our redemption is repeated again and again in the Scriptures. We thank God for who He is. So we read in 1 Chronicles 29, thanks be to you, O God. You're great. You're powerful. You're glorious, majestic, and splendid. Our thanks is again to be God-centered, not man-centered or thing-centered. He deserves thanks from us because of who He is. And we also thank God that He's redeemed us, forgiven our sins, delivered us. We thank God corporately. Again, I'm mentioning this. Remind yourself of this as a people, because in Christ, as a people of God, we're that chosen people, that royal priesthood, that holy nation. We're set apart. And Peter says that all of this is given to us with one purpose, that we would praise and thank Him for calling us out of darkness into that marvelous light. David sums it up again beautifully. He gives us that attitude that we love. And I love just meditating on that. Who am I that you have brought me here? That you've brought me this far? Think about it for yourself. You might say, but I'm not David. But you know what? You have something greater than David. You have the fullness of the redemption in Jesus Christ. And so, we should thank Him because we know that having started a great work in us, we can be convinced that He will complete that work. And that's the one thing that God calls from us and for us and from us is to be a thankful people. Friends, since we will be thanking God forever, which we will be, doesn't it make sense that we should be living that way now? Shouldn't we be thinking of all that He's done for us? Because the hope of the believer is that all the blessings for which we thank God are not just for now. You know, when we think, when we have a prayer for a blessing for now, we want this to happen now, we're forgetting that we're thinking about what things are to, we really should be thinking what things are to be for, forever in our lives and our hearts. They should be, as again, I mentioned this morning, as David puts it, for a great while to come. And that's just a pointer to forever, that forever land, which is the extent that we will be thanking and praising Him for that great while to come. And friends, since we are going to do it forever, it makes sense to do it now, to do it today. If you're going to do it forever, don't you want to start doing it now? Or do you think, I've got a whole forever to do this? I don't think I have to really spend that much time now. My time here is limited. No. You want to do the greatest things that your life could have. The greatest thing you can do is give God the one thing that He asks from you. I mean, really ask. Give the thanks to God. And you know the issue is this. You can only truly thank God if you know Him savingly. You know, we talk about being accountable with each other. Why not be accountable? Have you been thanking God today? Ask each other that. Have you been thanking God today? Have you given Him thanks? You know, just think about it. Here's Thanksgiving Day. Have you, since you woke up, even said maybe, God, thank you. I like to start a day. You know, when I had a terrible situation, not terrible at all, but you know, 10 years ago when a cardiologist said, well, you've got a 90% chance of having an explosive fatal heart attack within the next year. And I thought that's how I'm going to live. And, you know, that's going to be the situation. 90%, that's 10%. That doesn't look too good. But the thing is, here it is, 10 years later. For me, it's simple. I wake up every day. Hey, God, thank you. I am alive again today. That's nice. Thanks so much. That's really good. What do you want from me now for today? And I mean it. What do you want? I'm here. I shouldn't be here. I am here. Thank you. Thank you for that. It's a gift. Life is a gift. Don't just say, get me out of this place. That shows a lack of gratitude to God. I want to get to heaven right now. No, you don't want to get to heaven right now. You want to be where God wants you to be right now. And you want to thank Him. If you're here right now, you don't say, get me out of here. I don't like this. You're really saying, God, I don't like your sovereignty over my life the way you're working it out. I know a better way to do it right now. Kill me. But you don't really want to die. You just want a nice, smooth transition right to heaven. Well, no, it's not going to be that way. You got things to do now for God. Because you know when you know that you don't have things to do? When you stop doing them. When do you stop doing them? When you stop living here. So do them. Open your eyes to them. You can start the day. Okay, God, here we go. Another day for you. Show me what I'm to be, where I'm to be, what I'm to do, who I'm to do it with. Do it. Try it. So you can come to say and become the person like in Psalm 73, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. That was the psalmist, and it's a great sentiment. How many of us say, besides you, God, I don't desire anything else on earth? But if you don't know him savingly, then today is the day that everything of that nature can change. Today you can have a reason to thank God because you can repent. You can turn from your sin. Turn to Christ. You can be saved. And even here, could be someone sitting thinking, I've never had that. Well, you can have it right now. You can cry out with Thomas, my Lord and my God. You can know with Christ that God has heard you and that he will hear you. And you can be saved from your sins right now when you turn in faith to Jesus. Friends, we head out into Thanksgiving because it's actually now, because the day begins at sunset, right? We're going according to Israeli time. this is already tomorrow. Here we are. So it's tomorrow and we're in Thanksgiving Day. Let's realize that there's so much in our lives for which we are to be thankful. Even today, you should live thanking him for all he's given you and for all he's done for you. The hope of the believer is that all the blessings for which we thank God are not just for now, but are, as David says, I mentioned that this morning, there again, and I mentioned it tonight earlier, for a great while to come. For a great while to come. Indeed, forever. Which is the extent that we're going to be thanking and praising him. Friends, since we're going to do it forever again, I say it makes great sense to do it now, to do it today. But you can only truly thank God if you know him savingly. Without God, there's no reason. There's no reality to your life in any way. There's no one you can really thank. One of my good friends, when he turned away from Christ, he's a man who's a pastor. And before he came into the pastorate as a young believer, he turned away from Jesus Christ. And he said the worst thing in his life was having no one to thank. I mean, you could say he could thank his wife or his kids or something. But he said the worst thing was he'd pick up food and it was no longer, thank you, God. It was he realized the emptiness came, and the sense of rethinking his apostasy came when he realized, I have lost the motivation and the determination and the reality and the reason to give thanks for anything to anyone. We instead say, whom have I in heaven but you? I desire no one, nothing on earth. So friends, if there's even one of you here who needs Christ savingly, you know what? You can be born again. You can be saved from the wrath to come. You can cry out with Thomas, my Lord and my God. You can know that Christ hears you, that God will hear you. You can live as a Thanksgiving-filled life. There's all kinds of things we fill our lives with. Which of them are really important? Which of them, if you died tonight, would you say in the last week, oh, I am so, so grateful that I did this, this, this. And how many do you think there would be that are truly situations or things that you did that were absolutely the thing that really you could say, thank you, God, that I did that. Now, there may be many. That's great. But I think it really deserves, especially on time on Sabbath day with the Sabbath rest and a Thanksgiving that we should be thinking of all the time, but we're thinking about it today. A Thanksgiving to God for who he is and what he has for us. Think about it. Give it some thought. And if there is a thought of needing Jesus Christ, give it great thought. and thank Him. If He's opened your heart to see that, trust Him. Trust Him now. Give your life to Him. And then start living a thanksgiving-filled life in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for life. Thank You for new life. Thank You for redeemed life. Thank You for deliverance from the bondage of sin and death. Thank You for opening the gates of heaven that we may already even see the glories of God. Father, we desire to live a thanksgiving-filled life, thanking You all our lives for all You are and all You've done. Help us to focus on what is eternal, with the temporal things are passing away and not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. Because of this, we thank You and bless You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we leave, I'd like us to have a little time of thanksgiving prayer. I'll close.